Thank you very much.
Well, again, my name is Jackie and I'm an addict. And at this time, I would like to introduce the first speaker. Did you flip? Okay, so Mike is the first speaker. Oh, and welcome to the 10th Step Workshop. And I'll give you Mike.
I'm an addict. My name is Mike.
Hi, Mike.
I'm a member in good standing of the New Attitudes Group. We meet on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock in Sterling, Virginia. My clean date is August 21st, 1985. I was just sitting here having a conversation with my sponsor. Y'all don't see him here, but trust me, he is. It was a real short conversation. It's like, Charlie, what do I say? I said, tell the truth. My sponsor is a man of few words, and I'm a man of many problems. I like that laughter after I say something like that. Those of you who are here before the meeting started, you see me laughing, trying to carry on and stuff. That's my way of trying to cover up my nervousness today. Any uncomfortability that I have, I'm going to be either the class clown or a real butthole. It just depends, you know, on who, you know, which side of my brain I'm thinking with, which committee members, you know, got the loudest voice at the time. Now, this being a 10th step meeting, I've given it thought on and off. I've been busy up until about a half hour ago. I wasn't nervous till a half hour ago because I've been, you know, just doing other things. And that seems to be a real key to recovery, staying busy doing the next right thing. And I kind of think that ties in with me and my 10th step. Am I continuing to keep things just basic? Am I doing just what, you know, what's really necessary and for just to maintain a basis of recovery so that I have something to continue to build on? For me, even early on, I had a real hard time taking a look at myself because I didn't look too good. Whether I was looking in the mirror or looking at myself with my eyes closed. And today I still don't look all that great. I can look at myself in the mirror and I can look at myself with my eyes closed, and I like more of what I see than what I don't see. That's a significant change for me. In order for me to continue looking at myself, you know, I get tired of looking at the same bruises, the same pimples, the same warts. I got to do something to keep, so that I get better looking to myself. In order for me to do that, I got to take care of what's going on inside. And the way I do that is I stay vigilant as to the best of my ability, and not to the best of my ability, as good as I feel like doing. And that's better some days than others. Some days I take vacations, some days I don't. As long as I don't take too long a vacation in my recovery, no more than 10 or 15 minutes usually, in order for me to just stay focused, keep my eye on the target. That's another one of my sponsors saying, you know, staying on the beam, keeping the main thing the main thing. And for me, I got to have an incentive. There's got to be something in it for me in order for me to do it. You know, and my sponsor assures me that we do things for one of two reasons. It's either to gain something, which I like, or to keep from losing something. And that's kind of a good incentive for me a lot of times. I don't know so much in my life whether I've lost a lot or I just plain traded it or gave it away. There were a lot of negative consequences as a result of that. And by the grace of God, I stayed alive long enough to find a program of Narcotics Anonymous. I love taking other people's inventory. It's just like, you know, my whole life in thinking is centered in taking other people's inventories in one form or another, you know. And I never run out of other people to take inventories on. You know, I kind of get bored with myself pretty. I'm still not that spectacular of a guy, you know. I don't like looking in the mirror and, like, you know, like if I do a member of the opposite sex, for me that's always more attractive than my wife, you know, especially if she's younger. And and she knows I'm telling the truth. She can verify that. There goes that thought train. This is taking my inventory here. These are things my sponsor and I discuss, and my wife and I discuss, and my sponsees and I discuss. For me to get any value from taking your inventory, I got to put my name at the top of that list. You know, it can be your inventory, but with my name on it, I can get by with that. I can gain from that. Whether it's something you're doing that I like, something that's doing that you're doing it that displeases me in some way, shape, or form. It's like how do you remind me of me? You know, I see back, looking back over the time that I've been in my program here, that by taking other people's inventories, and if I see things that I like in you, and it's like, how much more could I be doing that? Am I doing that at all? If I see something that just doesn't look too cool to me, how much do I do that? Did I used to do it? So that I can get some kind of a gauge on my recovery, and so I don't get resentments against you. Because if you come along and you're like acting like I used to, it's like, wow, that's the way I used to be? Some insight more has been revealed. I come up and give you a hug, and I owe you a debt of gratitude for that. And it's not, I don't cop an attitude. It's perhaps that I'm maybe just a little further along in my spiritual growth than someone else. And there's plenty around here that are further along in their spiritual growth that I can use as road maps. When I pull out my map, I go back to zero every time. Every path on my map leads me back to being the jerk that I was just about all my life. I can look back over my life and see where I was an attention-seeking, death-defying little squirt that really felt like crap about himself. And today, I still have to look at where am I acting out on those, playing those old tapes to try to, be cool, get attention. Why am I still not okay with whatever attention I get, just being the best me that I can be, being the person that God probably wants me to be. I got one job in life. That's to be me. Nobody else got to do that. Just me. I don't recommend you trying to be me at home. It gets old for me. I was talking to somebody down there earlier, and they said, they wanted me to write their name on their ticket. I said, okay, you better not have me do that. I might write my name on there. Trust me, you don't want to be me. One of me is enough. To try to stay focused as best I can on this, continuing to take personal inventory and when we're wrong, properly admitted. That admitting I'm wrong, I'd prefer suicide over that one, honestly. Or just saying, screw you, it's your fault, you're the one that's being an idiot, and do the best I can to avoid you the rest of my life. And that gets hard to do when you're from a small area, because I'm from out at the Dulles Quarter area. And, there's, 10 people, 15, 20, 30 people in the big meetings. And we all know each other pretty much out there. And some of the meetings we still say, hey, any newcomers, want to introduce you? We know who you are, And it's not like there's any cheap seats you can hide in. We got one circle, and we're all there together. And that's kind of neat. When I got into the area out there, I still had my same home group that I started in back in 85. And there was like a big meeting back then with six people. And if eight people were there, it was like, oh, man, set out more chairs, It was a crisis, What do we do? But, and in our meetings, we still have people that that find it really, you know, when a lot of people show up for a meeting that not normally there, I got to look for that stuff in my daily life, you know, whether it's like I'm coming up on a yellow light, do I yank it down into first gear, floor it, or do I just ease up to a stop? That's a tough one. Where do I park once I get to a parking lot? You know, what kind of selfish self-centeredness that I need to focus on? Being self-centered is a save your own ass first program. So I need to keep the focus on me. Now, that's being self-centered. Oh, well, it's the selfish self-centeredness that I need to pay more attention to today. Where could I open a door for somebody and be a third or a quarter of a second later than what I would have been had I not held that door for you? Let somebody out from a gas station while I'm sitting in line. When I see them coming up, do I block them off right? You know, do I let them nose on out so when the light turns red, gee, they're the first person in front of me, you know? God, we all have so much experience that we can draw from in making these daily decisions. Where has it gained me any at all by not being loving, giving, caring, patient, tolerant, any others I left out? I'm sure there's plenty in there. And where has being ego-driven, I don't like using drugs to use analogy, but I'm a drug addict. That's what I do sometimes. Rather than being, you know, Mr. Natural or speed freak, you know, it's like for me, I was you know, the sit in the chair and drool kind of addict. That I was comfortable sitting still doing that, just being, you know. I used to pass out a lot and, you know, waste a lot of things that way, but I beat myself up for that plenty, but I don't have to do that today, you know. It's like where in recovery do I just need to stay mellow? That's one of the gauges that I personally use in my daily inventory is if I'm sweating under the arms, what's up? And I'm not out there riding a bicycle or running marathon, and I don't usually do either one. Especially the marathon, my feet are too short. I do ride a bicycle, you know, half a dozen times a year. So I'm not like overboard on, you know, I'm not compulsive and obsessive on that. So, you know, I have like these built-in gauges, you know, that I can look at, just like on the dashboard of my car, truck, whatever I'm driving at the time. It's like when I get somewhere after I've driven there, am I shaking like I'm shaking now because I'm nervous? I hope that somebody in here gets something. You know, this is valuable stuff. This is sacred hollow ground to me in Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I want you to get your money's worth. I certainly have. I've read up doing a little bit of homework on the 10-step things, you know. Where are the children in my ego running rampant in my life? You know, a lot of things I call children of the ego, and they show their faces. You know, I have lots of kids that make my life unmanageable on a daily basis to a degree, not to the degree it used to. I have a wife that she really needs my help in taking her inventory all the time. I have a hard time convincing her of that. We're still together, so it must be God's will that I continue doing that.
We're not.
please save your comments for your turn to share. you know, to me, the ego. I got to have some kind of ego. You know, I don't have the ego I used to, in my opinion. I'm entitled to that. But I don't. But where is that off-center part of my ego still affecting my life from being as spiritually based person as I could probably be? I've said this a pretty good many times, but I don't think I've said it to too many people in here, that I'm as sick right now as I ever want to be the rest of my life. You know, I'm not that, you know, robbing, stealing, I don't know about the lying part, cheating, I don't cheat, I don't steal, near as like I used to, you know. It's like, it's just not fun to steal something and then get out of the store and, how am I going to do with this, you know? It's like that big shot-ism, you know, like, hey, you know, like when I got clean, I used to steal things and just give them to people that could use them, you know. I had a sponsee that a meeting needed a coffee pot. Oh, I can get you that. So, I was, okay, you know, that's cool. He went and got a coffee pot. Well, you know, when we got to the honesty part, I think he went and took the department store $20 and made his amend. You know, it was, you know, a couple years later, but hey, we all like the coffee pot. It's like, no, I'm not going to drink any coffee out of that. That's assault. No, I didn't. I don't think anybody turned any coffee down. But to try to get back just to a little bit of the ego. I think the ego, whenever I come up with that ego, it's like ease God out. It's really taken me a long time to kind of get that concept that whenever ego's there, God isn't. He's either there or he isn't. He's either all or he's nothing. It's like we're all either children of God or none of us are. And that, it's like, you know, I remember the all or nothingness that I had in early recovery and still in certain areas of my life, and like telling my sponsor, you know, giving him my, hey, Charlie, I'm like this. I'm like all or nothing. And he said, yep, you sure are. And it's like, wow, yeah, he agrees with me on this. He says, do you want to be that way? Oh, man, where does he come up with this stuff? You know, he must have as good a sponsor as I got. So really for me today is like the admitting I'm wrong part. That really is the problem. The biggest part of step 10 that I have today. I hate saying I'm wrong to anybody about anything. And it's like even to myself when I was like, oh, that was wrong. But you know, there were extenuating circumstances, Your Honor. You know, it's the committee, you know. The jury's still out on a whole lot of coming up with, yes, this is really screwed up. I honestly want to be rid of this. Let me work on this one aspect of my ego for 30 days. You know, I wasn't in a hurry to get in here. I am in no hurry to get well. I've seen what happens to people when they get too well, too quick. They're coming back picking up white chips, or we go to their funeral. Or we just hear about how they're not doing real well. You know, it's like my sponsor has assured me I got the rest of my life to get well. And, you know, being a good sponsee, I want to know how long that is. he says he'll get back to me on that. Just keep coming back. And meeting makers make it. You know, it's like I got, you know, 12 and a half years clean now. It's like I've cut back to 2 meetings a week. And when I get to 3 meetings a week, it's like, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, I like this. Why don't I keep going to 5, 7, and 10 meetings a week? Like my first 5 years, I went to 7 to 10 meetings a week. Had 3 service commitments at least all the time. That helped me stay here, helped me get centered, and honestly believe that today I have a lot of other commitments in my life. My wife and I, we're not that all materialistic. When we buy something, If it isn't on sale and if it isn't used, we usually won't buy it. You know, we've got a lot of used things. You know, we've got a used RV out here in the parking lot that we're driving. You know, I got maintenance on that. We can afford these things as I work on the stuff myself. We got a used motorboat sitting at my sponsor's house because the lot rent's free. Well, I guess he expects me to stay clean. you know, my wife's got the convertible she wanted. You know, it's an 86. And I got maintenance to do on that. I got my four-wheel drive truck still, and it's a hot rod. And, you know, an extension of my, it's one of the children of my egos. But, you know, I got a sponsor that works at a parts store, and he gets my parts cheap for me. And I got people that help me on that. My wife still got her four-wheel drive truck. It's 85, just in case she needs to go somewhere on a bad day. You know, we're homeowners, wife and I are, you know, and I can do a lot of stuff around the house, piddle in the yard, and all these things. I get highs by doing this stuff that the dope didn't give me. If I wasn't getting better highs in this program still after the length of time, I'd be out there looking for them. But I keep finding them in here because I keep coming back. And they talk about the newcomer being the most important person in meetings. For me, when I see a newcomer, that's a new drug I haven't tried. And I don't mean, you know, the women try the stuff, but, you know, trying to help you in a spiritually oriented fashion. And if I don't help you, it helps me trying to help you, so nobody loses in that situation. I love you all a lot, and welcome to CPR CNA 12. Yeah. Thanks.
I would like to thank Mike again for sharing. Thank you, Mike. All right, again, my name is Jackie, and I'm an addict. And our second speaker, I'll give you Angie.
Sammy, I'm an addict, and my name is Angie. And I'd like to give thanks to my high pop for allowing me to be here, and also the program committee for CPR ANA Novana, which is where I'm from. And, you know, they said I need to tell you that I am nervous. And I need to tell you how I got to the 10th step. First of all, you know, I came in and I was like, I don't want to do them. You know, they were talking about steps. So I said, I don't have to do them because, you know, I'm not an addict for real. You know, I'm really, I just like doing it. I'm not really an addict, you know, because nothing can get me like that. But, you know, I came in and I sat and they put me in step meetings. You know, they made me a coffee maker at a step meeting on Commonwealth Avenue in Alexandria. And that was the best step meeting in the world. So, you know, we started doing this step stuff. You know, people were coming in and you know what? I finally admitted that I was powerless over my addiction and that my life had become unmanageable. And, you know, that was real hard for me. And, you know, my sponsor told me that the only step I really needed to work perfectly was the first step. You know, and then after I, you know, admitted that, I came down to the second step that says that we came to believe in the power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I really had to come to believe. Because, you know, I was all power. It was me, myself, and I, and that was all I needed. I didn't need anybody else, so I thought. So, you know, for me, in the third step, it says that we turn our will and our life over to the care of God as we understood Him. Those first three steps, for me, is I can, He can, and I let Him. You know, because those are the first three steps that really gave me my foundation in June 13th of, June 13th this year. By God's grace and your people, I'll be celebrating 10 years.
All right.
And, you know, I said, you know, in the beginning, when I got 10 years, I could do that again.
No.
Y'all gave me too much. You know, then we come down to the fourth step. It says we, oh God.
Inventory.
Yeah, that's the one. You know, and okay, the fourth step says that we made a fearless and we made a searching and fearless more inventory of ourselves, and that was house cleaning for me. You know, I got to write down all of those things, those secrets, those things, you know, that I didn't want nobody to know. I mean, things that I thought that I would take to my grave. You know, in here, they said we come in here like a dressed up garbage can. And I could tell you that that's how I felt after I kept coming back. Because in the beginning, I really thought I was still Miss Cutie on duty.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Alma remember me when I came in. And, you know, when I did my fourth step, it really allowed me to take off all of those masks, you know, that I wore, you know, those things that people told me that I was, you know, my father told me I was, people in the street told me I was, and I ain't gonna say those names, you know, because today it's about change. And, you know, I got into the fifth step, which talks about we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. When I got to the fifth step, I told my sponsor, I said, well, why I got to tell God? He already know. She said, so you can hear yourself. You know, and I got into the part of, you know, having to reveal it to another human being. But, you know, my sponsor and I sat down and we talked about it, and I said, well, here it is. She said, no, you read it to me. And I'm like, why I got to read it? I already wrote it. She said, because you need to really know what it is that you did. And, I did that, and I can tell you that my sponsor was the first woman that I established a relationship with in Narcotics Anonymous. Thank God for sponsors. Then we come to the sixth step, because for me, right after I did the fifth, the character defect started slapping me in my face. I don't know about nobody else, but I, you know, because I thought I didn't have no character defects. I just thought I was just born like that, you know. I really did. And, you know, I had to be become entirely ready to have God remove my defects of character. And, you know, I can tell you that what the sixth step did for me was allow me once again to establish a relationship with the God of my understanding. Because when I got to the seventh step, my sponsor said do the six and the seven, you know, together. And, you know, the seventh step says that we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. And the sixth step for me is when I want to act out and I immediately ask the God of my understanding to remove it, you know. And for me, it's like I'm really willing to ask God to remove those shortcomings. And, you know, I hear people say that there's some that I don't want to get rid of. In Narcotics Anonymous, for me, you can't compromise your defects because it's old behavior. It's just that simple. And the 10th step tells us exclusively that we cannot live in old behavior and become a person that's a productive member of society. The eighth step was really write down, you know, my list of people from my fourth step. And, you know, I didn't really use my fourth step to do that because I already knew who was on my list. And the people that were on my list, you know, I got an opportunity to move to the ninth step. And when I did my ninth step, my sponsor wasn't around. And it was the day, you know, that I was in Michigan with my stepmother. And, you know, I had really treated her real bad. And it was just one of those days, you know, that God had presented it. And I said a prayer. God gave me serenity, you know, did the serenity prayer. And I just told her, you know, that I was real sorry for how I treated her. You know, and then we come to the 10th step. And it says we continue to take personal inventory. And when we were wrong, we properly admitted it. And the 10th step is a step that after we've done all nine, that for me, how it works for me is that I can continue to stay in Narcotics Anonymous and live clean. You know, I no longer have to really take the inventory because I already know what I did. My gut flips, you know, my disease is talking to me in my head, and my heart, the God part that I talk about, is telling me, well, why did you do that? Or why did you say that? You know, and you know, my sponsor tells me that whatever my thoughts are, I don't have to worry about it because they're my thoughts. But when I take an inventory of myself, you know, it's usually in the evening, you know, right after work, or, you know, when I think I can watch TV or watch a movie, you know, and sometimes it's like when I'm lighting a candle and I take an inventory and I go over through my day. People do it differently. Some people can write their day out. I ain't one for writing. Fourth step was enough of writing for me. You know, and, you know, and usually on the way home from work, I can really, really sit, you know, on the bus and I can look out, you know, and I really know, you know. The 10th step talks about how we as addicts don't have to live like we used to. And, you know, what I quote is the 10th step in the basic text, because that was the first book that was ever given to me in Narcotics Anonymous. And that's the step book that's always worked for me. And, you know, the 10th step talks about, it says that one of the first things we learn in Narcotics Anonymous is that if we use, we lose, and I believe that. You know, they used to say that if you use, you're a loser. You know, they tell us that, you know, continue to take a personal inventory means that we form a habit of looking at ourselves. I don't like to do that. I've never liked to look at myself. I ain't never liked to look in the mirror and look at myself, because I was always ashamed of myself and I always felt guilt. And so then it goes on to say that we look at our actions, our attitudes, and our relationships on a regular basis. That means on a daily basis. Because I believe that without this inventory step, I don't believe that I could stay here. I don't know about nobody else. And, you know, and it's not for me to talk about nobody. And all these steps say that we, but I have to talk about me. See, I'm the kind of person that I live my life through fantasy all my life. I didn't want to believe that I was the kind of dope fiend that, you know, used to go borrow money from my good church aunt to get the last hit, like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, because all my life I deceived myself. You know, I listened to people when they told me things about myself, and I believed it because of my people-pleasing and my compromising, because I wanted you to like me and to love me. So I did whatever it is that you wanted me to do. Today, when I take a personal inventory, I myself have to still take a look at who I am, because if I love me by doing the first 9 steps, because that brought back for me my own self. And what I'm saying is that through work, through using, I did a whole lot of stuff. And I just continue to, you know, look at myself as a productive member of society, like Narcotics Anonymous tells me. You know, the 10th step is designed for me, and I wanted to put the 9th step in there, but I can't, you know, it's the 10th step. You know, it allows me to form a relationship with God, because I became God conscious after I did my 9th step. I really knew and really felt that there was a God. You people gave me my God, because I had long, you know, before I got here, I was like, no, there is no God, you know, because I used to rationalize that, well, the reef is out there and it's natural, I can smoke it, you know. And you know, this step also tells us that we have to try to prevent reoccurrences of old behavior. You know, that's why I believe that the 10th step is also there for us to take continue to take a personal inventory. Because my defects will run riot if I allow them to, if I don't keep in touch, too, with the 6th and 7th step. Because you know what? This step also says that we cannot rationalize, and we can't, you know, say, well, they did this to me. Because we're people who come in here and we want to change every aspect of our life. You know, it's no longer we are the victims, because we ain't victims no more. Once we start coming to Narcotics Anonymous and we do the first 3 steps, which is find a God, 5, 6, and 7, it says clean house, 10, 11, and 12 say you got to stay here and use God. You know, I can no longer rationalize, well, you know, well, she said this to me, so I said this to her. And, you know, my personal experience is that when people do things to me, I really want to get them. And I can't, because I got a conscience today. You know, now in my head, I can kill them. I kill them in my head. But I try not to act out. And, you know, the other thing is that they talk about in the 10th step that we must remain, you know, teachable. And that we still have to go to meetings. And I know that when I don't go to meeting, I don't call my sponsor, I don't pray, and I ain't meditated, I'm in big trouble. because I start to try to act out on old behavior, which is cussing people out. Because when I came in here, I had a real dirty mouth. You know, sometimes a day, you know, I still practice that behavior. But then I had to go back over my day and see where I was wrong, and it was real wrong for me. And you know, my sponsor said, you know, she said, sometimes in recovery, she says that we just don't want to give it up because it just feels so good. And I'm like, wow. So, you know, I really come to understand that if I need to stay here, I need to practice principles in all my affairs, and the 10th step is a step that, you know, I have to practice on a daily basis. And, you know, I feel like I can't, like, do it halfway. You know, and I heard a brother talk in the intimacy meeting that we shouldn't go to bed with feelings because we wake up with feelings. And I found that to be true for me. Because the next day, you know, I still have to face those people, you know, that I have, you know, did some kind of harm to, you know. And, I mean, for me, it's just like the 10th step says that, you know, we creatures of habits, and we like our habits, and we don't want to give them up because they feel too good. You know, and for me, it's like I didn't want to come in here, and I didn't want to change, you know, but I kind of like just didn't want to use, you know. But I still wanted to, like, keep my old playmates and my old toys and all of that stuff, and it just wasn't right in here. You know, and I couldn't rationalize and I couldn't justify why, you know, I wanted to do those things because it just wasn't right because, you know, in my network, people were changing and I was still staying stuck. You know, and I couldn't understand why people started to move away from me, and it was because I hadn't changed my behavior. You know, they say that we dress our outsides up, but our insides are not feeling as good. You know, and we're people who are addicted. We're addicted to people, places, and things. And I know when I came in here and I put on outfits and I put makeup on and I wanted to go to the dance, I still wasn't feeling comfortable inside. So it's like I wanted to change. I had to change no matter what because I didn't want to use anymore. And I don't know, I'm just kind of like, it's real simple for me. You know, you come in, like they say, we come in, we find a God, we do the house cleaning, and, you know, we find a God of our understanding, and everything else falls in place. But I'm going to leave you with this, because some of the things that I wrote in the beginning on this was self-acceptance and be honest. And you know, to don't use and try to help others, you know. And it says that we don't want to be trapped in a continuous and progressive illness, which is our addiction. And, you know, a lot of times for me, it's like my disease still talks to me. I have not arrived. And my disease says it's okay to put the thumbtack in the chick's chair because she said something to me that I don't like. You know, I'm telling the truth. You know, when my boss says something to me that I really don't like, you know, I really want to cuss him out. You know, when the girls in the office don't invite me to lunch, my self-esteem is like it's real, real low, and I really want to, you know, like vent my anger, and I can't, you know, because that's why I got a sponsor, and I call my sponsor. And, you know, the other thing that I try to do is, on a daily basis, I try to ask myself in situations that occur, you know, what is it that my God would do? So if I continue to treat people the way that I want to be treated, then at the end of the day, my slate should be clear. And you know what? This is not a perfect program, and we are not perfect in our step work, nor, you know, do we try to be perfect, because we were false. There's only one perfect being, and that one is God. But I try to align my will with God's will on a daily basis. You know, I try to do the things that, you know, God would do, and I try to treat people, like I said, like I would like to be treated. So, you know, taking a personal inventory at the end of my day really helps me. You know, I get on my knees and I pray, and, you know, sometimes, did I tell you about the candlelight bubble baths I have? You know, when I came in recovery, I didn't much know about, you know, how to take care of myself. because I could always, you know, like put the negligees on and put the lotion on for the man. And what the women in Narcotics Anonymous taught me is to do that for myself. And usually, you know, after my evening, after my day, you know, because I work two jobs and I go to school, I got a real hectic schedule, and I try to go to meetings on a daily basis. You know, and I light my candles in the bathroom and fill my tub up with bubbles, and, you know, that's my meditative time. You know, when I can, you know, really, really be comfortable, you know, put on a little jazz, you know, a little Boney James, and, you know, get in the comfort of my own space and do my inventory. Because for me, I don't believe that I can do an inventory when I got a whole bunch of other things going on. Because I'm really not being honest with myself. And like I say, you know, when I pay attention to my gut, I just about know, you know, what I've done and who I've done it to. And, you know, Narcotics Anonymous is a place that I thought that was not for a person like me, because I still had my little plushy apartment down in Old Town Alexandria, and I still had my little government job, and I was pretty much, you know, still, you know, having a little bit of money. So when I got here, you know, and women was talking about, you know, shooting dope in various places, and men was talking about what they was doing, I was like, oh, maybe I could go back out and do that. And my sponsor said that, you know, they have a thing in Narcotics Anonymous called Share Your Experience, Strength, and Hope. And she said that those are their experience and hope that you won't have to go out there and try that. You know, so this is a real simple program for us complicated people. And, you know, I can't talk 30 minutes. I'm just not there, you know. And because then I think, you know, I really got some control. And I think I got some power. And I'd be lying, you know, if I go any longer. So the only thing I'm going to leave you with is that thank you for being here for me, because without you, it wouldn't be any me. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, hi, group. I'm Jackie, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Jackie.
And I would like to thank Angie again for sharing. Okay, and they said if more than 5 minutes remain before the schedule and the workshop, okay, before we open the meeting up to those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the microphone one at a time. Also, try to keep in mind that there are other addicts who are waiting to share. There's a meeting going on. If you don't want to be recorded, please inform the person taping so they can turn off the recorder while you're sharing. So I'm going to get mine off the top. I'm Jackie and I'm an addict.
Hi, Jackie.
All right, that 10th step, ever since I had asked to be a part of this blessed convention, they told me, when they sent my confirmation, which I never, they didn't send it, but I got my confirmation, and they said that, okay, you can help out on the 10th step workshop. Something spiritual about this program, because I do try to take a daily inventory regularly, because that's what keeps me in balance with my recovery. But everything seemed to have gotten out of whack, you know, but thank God for the 10th step, because I was able to draw back on the courage to defects, which are, and I have found out since doing step work around here, is my God-given basic natural instincts. But sometimes I can overwork them, and then they become defective, and the next thing I know, I'm running rampant. But I can halt at any time. Just one example, I can become very petty. And what happened, I had was in the store, and it was a wholesale store anyway, and the particular item was only $17. And I took the item back, knowing that I had only paid $15 for that item. And I had my NA buddy with me, and they were with me at the time when I had bought that item. And so I gave the man, we exchanged, and I bought something else, and I gave him the exact amount, but it was a couple of dollars more. And that buddy was like, You know you only pay $15, you know. So why is it that my gut just gripped and we made it out to the car? And I really had that chance because the program kicked in. Just give the money back. Go straighten up your mistake. But I made it to the car, and then they said it again. Sat down, I sat still. And what I did, I wanted to really go back and do the right thing. And I turned to that person. I said, could you go do that for me here? But they didn't do that. They didn't play into what I was going through. So I mustered up enough courage, and I asked the God of my understanding to please forgive me for what I had done. And I turned back around, and I took that money in there, and I gave it to that person. And the first thing that was done was he said, wow, you're honest. I said, no, it's not me. It's the God of my understanding, you know. And through that, I got the relief that I needed. And it's little things like that. If I could stay in check and these things don't start building up on me, I have a chance to say that I had a good day by the time I do sit down and collect my thoughts in a quiet space. Because sometimes I could just really simply force of the day and be all right and ready to move on and won't have all these guilty feelings that comes along with the pettiness, with those character defects if I allow them to build up. But thanks for letting me share. And we still have some time, so if you want to come up, we have like 15 minutes, but they said please limit your sharing. All right.
Hi, family. I'm Kathy. I'm an addict.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
Man, you know, I got a lot out of what y'all were sharing. Because, you know, I drove, we came down here, me and my husband, and we're doing a lot of step work, and, you know, like, I'm on my eighth and he's on his ninth. And we've been, like, at each other's neck about the step thing, you know. Like this guy was saying that he tells his wife on her inventory, so I does it to my husband. He says I does it to pick with him because I think I'm working on something. And that's my steps. And I know I am, you know. But my inventory comes at the end of the day, like you, is when I fall on my knees at night and I start praying to God for help. And then he reveals my day to me. And I'd be like, oh, God, please forgive me for that. And like you say, I know I did something somewhere down the line, or I said something to hurt somebody's feelings. But at that present time when I do it, I just feel that I am so right, so whatever. You know, it doesn't bother me, I'm telling you, until I hit my knees and I'm talking to this man upstairs that know when I'm telling the truth and when I'm lying. You know, so I have to tell the truth and ask for his forgiveness on a daily basis. You know what I mean? Because I already know I'm not a perfect person. But I'm telling you guys, I work real hard. I work real hard to do the best that I can be in recovery and to tell the truth. And it's not easy sometimes when you got two twin girls that's asking you a whole lot of questions, and I don't always know the answer. And then I found out when I tell them I don't know, that's not the truth either. Sometimes, you know, I need to find an answer for them so they can live by it, you know, because they're going to ask me again. You know, and the next time they ask me, I'm going to lie. That's where it is because I don't know the answer. You know, but this has touched me. You know what I mean? And I ain't even there yet. But God put me here. You know what I mean? This has really touched me because, like you say, I know when I've done something wrong, but when am I going to be able to stand up for it before I get on my knees? I need to do it before I get on my knees when it happens, not wait till I get on my knees and I know that God is showing me that, you know, that was not a great thing to do. You know, it's something like somebody says, have you ever really hurt somebody's feelings and know you was hurting them and saw the expression on their face? I've been there. You know, I felt that. When I know this person was hurting my feelings, but they didn't really care, and I carried that attitude. I don't really care, you know, until it happens to me, you know. That's painful. That's some painful thing. But I'm just glad y'all shared on that 10-step. Lord have mercy. You know, I love my sponsor. Best thing in heaven. I'm like you. That's the first woman I ever had a relationship with. Because every other woman, I thought they wanted something from me, or they was after my man. You know what I mean? Or they was after the bar or something. And I'm not the person to loan out anything. You know, especially my clothes. So I can't wait to tell her what I heard up here. Because that's how close we are. I share a lot of things with her because I know that she's here to help me. And thank you. And thank you all.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, family. My name is Jeffrey, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Jeffrey.
I got a lot out you guys sharing. I really appreciate what you had to say. Program with Narcotics Anonymous literally saved my life. And when I got to the 10th step, I found out that I had been being prepared for it all along the way. When I first came into the program, people were telling me things like, keep the focus on yourself. What part did you play in it? And then I would be sharing and I'd dump about something that had happened to me. And they'd say, well, take a look at it and see whether or not it's their shit or your shit. You know, all this is part of the 10th step. So I had developed some kind of inkling of looking at myself when I got there. But by the time I got there and when I got there, I found out that at the end of the day that some days I did some good stuff. You know, that every day wasn't a day that I had done something wrong. You know, there were days, days in my life now that I actually helped somebody, you know, and that I actually done the right thing at the right time. When I had got to that crossroad where there was a decision that needed to be made, and I made the right decision. So the 10th step also allowed me the opportunity to see where I had been making some improvements in my life, you know. And the literature says that if I practice the first part of this step often enough, then I won't need the second part as much, you know. And that's what I try to do, you know. But I'm not perfect. I don't work with a perfect program, and there are times when I do fall short, you know. But the 10th step kind of keeps me in tune with when I'm getting off the beam. You know, so it's very necessary. Actually, 10, 11, and 12, they say it's maintenance, the maintenance part of the program. It's just like with those automobiles you were talking about. If you don't perform maintenance on a regular basis to those automobiles, they're going to break down on you, and they're not going to serve their purpose. Well, that's the same thing with my life and the serenity and peace and joy that I have in it. If I don't perform daily maintenance on me, myself, then I'm going to lose all those things. You know, it's going to break down on me. So the significance, it shows when I begin to practice it and I look in the mirror and I like what I see. Like I heard you saying, you know, I'm not exactly everything I want to be, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's right. But for God's sake, you know, I'm definitely not what I used to be. You know, so I'm kind of pleased with it. And I want to thank you for letting me share. Thank
you
so
much.
I'm Scott, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Scott.
Hi.
thought I'd share a couple of things real quick about my work on the 7th or on the 10th step, and it works how and why. I was very fortunate enough, right, to be able to work at a couple of workshops when we were writing that book. And there's a gentleman that's not here anymore named Mark P. And I remember when I first came around, you know, I was very attracted to him. And it was kind of ironic, right, that a couple of years later, a sponsee of mine who happened to be gay told me that it was okay to be attracted to a man spiritually, you know, and that's what I realized I was, and that it was an awesome, you know, awakening for me. But anyway, we were working on the 12th, or on the, I wanted to be, you know, where he was, and so he was working on the 10th step workshop in Baltimore, Maryland, and I went in there, and it was funny, I had not worked the 10th step yet, but what he told me to do was is write down some stuff that's kind of pissing you off today, that you're upset about. And at the time, I had an employer who's asking me to do some things that were not quite legal. And I wrote that down, right? And I wrote down that I ultimately would have to be responsible for my actions, you know? And what's amazing is it was edited, right? And it's in our It Works How and Why today, you know? And what was even more awesome is that, you know, I got terminated from that job, you know, 10 years ago. I retired, I ended up becoming the vice president of a plumbing company for the last 9 years, and I retired in October. 2 weeks after I retired, the gentleman who fired me asked me to come back to work for him. And I'm now his sponsor. And it's pretty awesome, you know, how this program works. Anyway, for me, the spiritual principle behind the 10th step is reciprocity. What comes around goes around. That's probably about the best example I can give of it. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. We still have 5 minutes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Tony.
And it's only through the grace of God that I'm here clean and sober, and I got a lot of gratitude also for being at this convention here. Far as the 10th step for me, is a very important step for me also. In order for me to change and become who God wants me to be, it's important that I take an inventory, a daily inventory of myself, you know. And just like Jeff was saying, you know, I'm a person. I don't really like going to people apologizing, you know, going to them apologizing, saying I'm sorry, you know. But I mean, if I expect to change, you know, that's something I would have to do. I try my best, you know, to do God's will. A lot of times I would take my own will back. I would look at things at the end of the day. For an example, basically at nighttime, you know, I would look at my whole day and I look at how it went. Whether if I was cursing a lot today, you know, whether if I got on somebody's nerve, or if I was dishonest with somebody, if I was speeding on the road or whatever it may be. And I look at that, and to me, that's my inventory. That's the inventory that I would take. And if necessary, if I have to apologize to somebody immediately, I would call them up and apologize. I really try not to sit on it for too long, because I do have a conscience today, you know. And it's hard for me to sleep at night knowing I did cause somebody some harm, whether it was physically or mentally or spiritually, you know. And even though it's doing a great justice to that individual, but it's doing a great justice to me too, for me as well, it helps me become a better person. Nevertheless, to be able to look at myself, for me to be able to look at myself and know where I need help at, you know, and you know, the next day I'm able to be a better person. I have something to look at the next day where I won't have to actually repeat the same thing I have may have done the day before, whatever, you know. 10th step is a very powerful step for me. I'm done, but I'd like to thank you all for let me share my experience on 10th step. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Tony. All right. I would like to thank all the speakers. And we have a beautiful way of closing with Just for Today. Just for Today.